Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here on another beautiful In the 90s day. It's going to be all like that all week long, so it's going to be great. Chance to get out, and if you can swim in a pool, if they allow you to, wherever you're at.
Hey, we want to thank Brian Jundep for filling in for us on Wednesday.
Yeah, great.
Happy to report that our son, Rev, won his golf match, largely thanks to Chuck for keeping score. This is how I keep score for golf. I'm like, one, two, three, was that eight? Was that, and Chuck's like, no, Julie. So we were both helpful parents, and Rev won. So thank you to everyone who listened to Brian, and thank you to Brian. Our show sponsored, as always, today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Great articles up on their website today, doing some analysis of what happened last night in the Colorado primary. And want to remind folks too, if you're on Zoom and you want to chime in, all you have to do is kind of unmute yourself and pop up. We'll see you and we'll introduce you. If you want to join Zoom, let me give you the number for that. 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. And if you want to call in, 888-627-6008.
Do that number again, Julie.
All right. There we go. 888-627-6008.
All right. And we want to discuss kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night.
Starting with the good.
And there is some very much a lot of good going on. And some of the other two, as always, you get in elections. But George is with us on line three. George, you there?
George Anthonisopoulos, better known as the Amen.
I'm here.
Amen.
So, George, you know, we're going to let you go through this, but, you know, I was tweeting earlier today in remarks in response to your column in Colorado Politics. You know, you hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. What can you tell us about Lauren Boebert's
Unbelievable. Although you quickly
you
knew it the whole time because you're an advisor to her. I guess one of her many advisors.
I did a little bit of volunteering, nothing more.
Okay. But kicking butt with five-term incumbent Scott Tipton, who really no one was sure that he was even alive anymore. But what did Lauren do right?
She did everything right. I mean, frankly, if you look at her. She's an exceptional candidate. She's got a great campaign team. And they worked really, really hard. They connected with the voters. And they did what other Republicans don't do, which is, at the end of the day, it matters how many ballots come in with that are a vote for you.
Right.
So getting out the vote, harvesting ballots, making phone calls, like they crushed it. Her and her campaign team absolutely crushed it. And there's not a single number you can look at that doesn't show that they absolutely crushed it. They clearly overperformed. And in so doing, they got national attention because they ousted a five-term incumbent Republican. No scandals.
Right. No scandals.
Not an exemplary voting record, but...
Well, it depends. He always voted, you know.
He beat him by 10 points.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing because he got no negative publicity. Nobody ever said anything
Trump
bad.
Endorsed him.
Trump endorsed him. Now, he never came on a single regular program. He never stood for anything. He was just your typical blah Republican. But blah Republicans, blah congressmen get elected endlessly. In fact, it's the people who raise their head up that often get it cut off. It was an extraordinary victory, and I saw there was a analysis of it, and they talked to Dick Wadhams, who said she did a great job on radio and all that, and I was kind of going, you know, I know lots of candidates come on our program, come on other programs. You know, that's not the key to this.
Here's why.
The key was her ground route, ground game. I mean, yes, she was, we had her on our program, we were at CanUS, and she was very energized and very
articulate
and all that, but it wasn't appearing on radio programs that did it, because I've seen lots of other articulate good ones but I haven't seen the ground game. And that's in a state in which has balanced everyone and require open primaries and everything else. That was the difference. It was her ground game. That fact, she's an attractive candidate, and you got a great ground game. That was so different than the usual public.
Well, and here's what I keep going, because I'm kind of, not even kind of, I'm angry at the other Republicans about this. Because, George, this is something, because I want to get specific here. You have only been talking about this, a few years since we were trounced before 2018. You came on our show at KNUS and said, they're going to try to make excuses. I'm going to tell you exactly why they lost. When we say ground game, we're not talking about TV ads and mailers and doing interviews on radio
shows. Standing on bridges, waving pom-poms.
We're talking about people knocking on doors in certain very targeted areas, precincts, right? Finding not only the Republicans who are going to vote for you, but the unaffiliated voters who are going to vote for you. Not only talking them into voting for you, but then going back and getting their ballot. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. And here's the, so as some of your listeners may know, I was a political novice back in 2016. I joined the race for Colorado 7th Congressional District. I was brand spanking new out of the Army. I just retired, and I ran for Congress. And I beat my opponent, who is a great guy, but I did beat him at the Assembly. I kept him off the ballot, and I went on to lose to Ed Perlmutter. But, you know, I learned a lot during that race. And I knew, having seen the Colorado political system from the inside, I was like, we are never going to win unless we substantively change the way the party does business. And right. Then, as such, I ran for state party chair, and I told Colorado Republicans exactly what was going to happen and exactly what we had to do to fix it. And I was defeated by Jeff Hayes. And right. He beat me fair and square, but he ran on the premise that if you just raise more money, you can defeat Democrats. And I said that was false at the time. I continue to say that was false. Lauren proved it yesterday. She spent about $119,000 to Scott's $510,000-ish. Right. And she trounced him by 10 points. So,
what did she spend it on, George? That's a key question, right? As you said, you know, money kind of matters, but what you spend your money, and I hope Cory Gardner is paying attention somewhere to all, I know, but it's what you spend the money on. So, what did she spend the money that she had? What did she spend it on?
She spent it in traditional ways. It's not, that's not the part to focus on. The part to focus on is she had an army of volunteers. She had more volunteers than any other congressional.
What's an army? What constitutes an army in Colorado? I mean, how many are in a division?
In the third congressional district.
20?
I mean, well over 100. And they made phone calls, they knocked on doors, they harvested ballots, and they, you know, on that last day, they were just blowing up phones because they get the list from the county clerk and recorders.
Right.
Who, which Republicans haven't cast their ballots. Let's call them. Let's remind them.
Right.
Not only vote today, but vote for Lauren. Get your vote in. Get your ballot in. Here's your nearest ballot drop-off location. Please go and submit your ballot. And
the third congressional district.
Why she trusted.
It's rural. It's more rural. It's
it wraps around Denver, if you want to call it that. It goes all the way up in the north and then all the way down the south, and particularly strong along the border to the west. But it's a huge geographical district.
Yeah, so it's not like
you you compare that to Denver, right? I mean, Denver's a little speck on the map. The 3rd Congressional District takes up about half of Colorado because it's rural and it doesn't have as many people as others say. But the ballot harvest, the only place you get ballot harvest is Mesa, because Mesa has enough Grand Junction and everything else. You got to call the other ones, and maybe there's a few you can get. But she obviously did a tremendous job in Mesa. That was her whole victory. She won that by 8,000 or 9,000, and that was basically the range. But, boy, what a great campaign.
I mean, she won in Mesa by that margin, but she also didn't lose counties by huge margins either.
Right.
She was very competitive everywhere.
And let me ask you,
she ran up the score in certain targeted counties. And if you look at the map of the counties, like Yeah, she had excellent coverage. She didn't lose any by a significant margin. She ran up the score in counties that have, you know, a lot of people, but also have the requisite population density to make harvesting a logical choice.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. people who talk about her and her media profile and her skill and ability as a candidate, they're missing part of the point, which is, yes, she's an exceptional candidate. Yes, she had a great campaign team. Yes, she had all these volunteers. But at the same time, her mechanics were excellent.
Right. Exactly.
As a campaign.
Let me ask you this.
Let me finish this. You can have 100 volunteers, and they can be semi-worthless. If you have 100 really committed volunteers, you can move the world. And that's what they did. I mean, those couldn't have been their usual, let's go over and get a brunch and
talk about how great we are.
Chit-chat for a while. Yeah. Those are people who
And here's the thing. That speaks to her emotional intelligence. She's able to connect with voters on a level that, and I said this in the article, that most Republicans don't even know exists.
Right.
So
right.
When you're able to establish that connection with voters and with volunteers, their support of, you know, their intensity of support is what really makes the difference, because they're willing to go out and advocate on your behalf. They're willing to make the phone calls. They're willing to go and wave signs and harvest ballots.
Right. Let me talk about unaffiliated voters, because I think this is also, I think, a story that people need to pay attention to, and the media is going to probably bury it because they don't understand it. But it seemed to me, just looking at it, Lauren would not, I think, necessarily strike somebody, you know, that even the New York Times is, you know, ultra-conservative, ultra-right, blah, blah, blah. And yet it seems, I mean, how did she do with unaffiliated voters?
She crushed it. I mean, that is... When they decided to open up the primaries to unaffiliated voters, they did so with the specific intent of preventing candidates like Lauren from winning.
They thought they could
protect incumbents and make sure that the only Republicans who ever won a primary were, you know, moderate milquetoast Republicans.
Right.
And they gravely miscalculated, because if you get an appealing candidate with a lot of energy who can connect with voters, guess what? They're going to take the lion's share of the unaffiliated. And speaking anecdotally, I know a lot of conservatives who are registered as unaffiliated voters because they're just sick and tired of the Republican Party. So when you ignore them in a primary and just think that television commercials and mailers are going to reach them, you're just wrong.
Right.
Well, you know, part of what some Democrats hoped is that Democrats, notwithstanding a kind of very hotly contested gubernatorial primary, some might go over and play
Senate.
No, gubernatorial. Yeah, Senate, you're right.
Might play in
the problem. But, and so I wanted to look immediately at Pitkin County, which is a very much of a Democratic blue one, and see how many votes came out of there. And very few. It was very few, because they don't have very many Republicans, but the unaffiliateds did not come in. So that was a good indication to me. The unaffiliateds were not Democrats who are unaffiliated playing in the game, but rather she reached all those people who really her message got out to.
Well, and George, what...
I'll let him respond to that.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, it's... She did. She went out and she did the hard work, and she got the unaffiliated voters. And that's a credit to her and her campaign. They just outworked Scott. He took this race for granted, and he thought just by spending the money that he would win, and he was wrong.
Right. We're talking with George Antonisopoulos, a political observer, about the stunning victory by Lauren Boebert, which, I mean, bottom line, George, it's what you've been saying. It's what we've been saying. You have to have a great candidate. But if you have a great candidate with a great ground game, and by ground game, we mean boots in the neighborhood, knocking on doors, harvesting ballots, you can win. I mean, Lauren Boebert, and because we're going to talk about the sad parts, you know, in a moment here. But to me, you know, she showed, no, Colorado is not turned blue, right? I mean, mean, there's nothing blue about Lauren Boebert, right?
Well, you'll find out come this fall, but I think she's going to do great then. But if you had a choice between a great candidate and a great ground game, you'd take a great ground game.
Right.
And the Democrats approved that time, and they're proving it now. Joe Biden's senile. He's pathetic. He's corrupt.
Doesn't matter.
Everything else. And he's leading from 5 to 10 points. Is he going to hold any rallies? No. Is he going to talk to anybody? No. Is he going to do anything? No, they don't care, because they plan to use mail ballots, ballot harvesting, and just negative campaigns to win. But when you got both a great candidate and a great ground game, but the ground game is more important than the two, if that's a little sad.
But here's the thing. Here's what's so infuriating about Colorado Republicans. We've been talking about this for years, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about it. We've told Republicans how to win. We've explained it to them in detail. As you know, I did an audit of the 2018 election.
Right.
I went on your show and I said, this is what's about to happen based on, you know, publicly available data. And then it happened. And then on top of that, Lauren just proved it.
Right.
So what more do Colorado Republicans need to see
right
to actually believe the truth is in fact the truth?
Because
I simply do not know. It's baffling.
You know, because again, and you know, all due respect to Dick Wadhams and the folks at Magellan Strategies, they're going to say, well, it's just kind of useless because that's what I was saying. Colorado is turning blue. But if Lauren Boebert, by having a good ground game and connecting with voters, can do it, anyone can do it. And I think what you said was so important. I go back to our Democrat operative friend, Ted Trimpa, and the Colorado Blueprint. They started this, and what they did is exactly what you guys being Lauren's campaign, they targeted specific places. They looked at places and said, where can we get the votes? Where can we get the unaffiliated voters? And then they went and got them, and they didn't get them by leaving a message on their cell phone that no one was going to pick up or ever answer. They went there by knocking on the doors. And that kind of leads me to where I was going. Do you have any idea? One of the things I think, and I apologize for being babbling here, but one of the things that Democrats do really well in connecting with the unaffiliated voters is they don't come out and say, hi, we're really progressive radical Democrats. Will you vote for us? Because they come to knock on our door because my daughter is here and is registered. They say, hey, we're here to talk about
family leave.
We're here to talk about, you know, the ecology or the environment, right?
Conservation.
They find out what your button is, and then they talk to you about that. Did Lauren do that too, do you think?
No, Lauren was absolutely upfront. So
okay. She
was like, this is who I am. This is my message. And she just trounced Scott Tipton. Like that was, she didn't have to do anything in terms of all the other things that we've talked about that, let's say, Corey would have to do. She didn't do that. She came to it as a political newcomer saying, I'm here to make a difference. And from the very beginning, she just said, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. And then she asked for people's support. And critically, she asked for their ballots.
Right.
She asked for their votes.
Right.
All right. Well, let's go to a phone call. We got Iggy on line one.
Wants to ask you a question. Hey, Iggy.
Hey, comrades. How's this going?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So since you're talking about Lauren, I'm going through my Facebook feed, and I happen to be following the Progress Now Facebook page.
Oh,
my God. They are apoplectic.
Oh, yeah. They're freaky.
Colorado Polls has some negative article about it, and they've got so much in the comment section, so much. I mean, it's worth everybody to go out and
read it.
It is.
You'd think that Satan was nominated, right? It's like, instead of Lauren.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's all QAnon. Endless QAnon.
Yeah, QAnon, you've seen it then. There's somebody who claims her sister went to high school with her, and she was on the Ricky Lake show with some other bizarre stuff. I mean, this is just, it's great. I mean, the Progress Now crowd is just wonderful. I mean, Boulder County just announced that masks again, and they're so happy that they're on Facebook, and you know, they're doing a swarm post. So I don't know. I just thought I'd mention it.
No, that's funny.
Listeners would enjoy reading it.
All right.
We'll go to it.
Thanks, Iggy. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm sure they're
good
thinking.
Stuff.
Hey, and I want to read this is kind of a funny text from Leo, who said, talking about Scott Tipton, five turn. He goes, how can you be a five turn Republican and not have a scandal? That in and of itself is a scandal. You know, there's something to that, George. And let me ask you about
this. Well, let's talk about the QAnon. I mean, that she's going to be endlessly attacked about that. To talk about why they attacked her on that.
That whole line of attack is just a ridiculous bunch of nonsense. They played gotcha. They were like, have you ever heard of this? She said, yes. She didn't know anything about it. And now they paint her as some sort of, you know, tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. And that's just a lie.
Right.
The plain fact of the matter is she's just a small business owner. She's a mom. She's a wife. She is trying to make a difference, and she's passionate about the issues that she cares about, which really resonates with the constituents
voters.
Of the third congressional district. So but all these
she's gonna have to come up with the one saying, just, you know, they asked me a vague question, I didn't know much about it, still don't much about it, and I'm not a regular follower, but that's not my job, that's not my thing. Well, you don't this is that's all the campaign's gonna be about.
Here's why they're going to trash her, I believe, because, George, the last thing the Democrats want is for Republicans to have actually figured out how to win, right?
Right.
So more than, they were happy they could live with Scott Tipton, but they got to crush her because they don't want anyone else turning around saying, hey, maybe we should have a ground game, too. That's a concept. Maybe we should harvest ballots, too. Don't you think? I mean, she's in for it here.
Well, here's the thing. You expect these attacks from the Democrats because that's just how they play the game. What I find personally repugnant is we as Republicans claim that, hey, you know, we have primaries for a reason, let the best candidate win, and whomever wins will support. So the attacks you see today that are coming from Republicans, I find just despicable because she won. She won not by a little, but by a lot. And she did it by playing fair. So She pointed out, she contrasted herself with Scott's record. I mean, just because Scott's record is nothing to stand on doesn't mean that's Lauren's fault. I mean, Scott took those votes. Scott is the one who ran his campaign and, you know, cast those votes in Congress. And so for Republicans to now join the Democrats in attacking Lauren, because they're bitter, is frankly despicable as Republicans. And the thing is, what makes it especially abhorrent is every time a quote-unquote establishment Republican wins in a primary, they always say, now it's time to unite behind our candidate,
our nominee.
We have to unite. And here Lauren is one. How many calls for unity do you hear from the other parts of the Republican Party?
No. Well, because again,
I'm not hearing them.
She's a disruptor, just like Donald Trump is, right? And she is threatening not just the Democrats, but she's threatening the Republicans, the establishment Republicans, and I think too many Republicans in Colorado's way of life. Again, I go back to, you have a passionate candidate who doesn't hide what they think, who doesn't say, oh no, I'm squishy on guns, right? Who calls out Beto O'Rourke and says, what do you mean you're going to come take my gun, right? Who carries her gun in a restaurant, who opens a restaurant in defiance of Governor Polis's order. And she tells the people, I'm going to stand up for you, just like I'm standing up for myself. And lo and behold, people vote for her. I mean, we can't have that going on in this country or in this state. George, my God, what would happen to the Chamber of Commerce and all the lobbyists and all the political consultants who are making money?
Yeah, it's, I mean, you're exactly correct. And let's just, part of me, I'm just frustrated because you have this great candidate. She won fair and square, and yet they're Republicans who today are attacking her.
Like which ones? Which Republicans have you seen attacking her?
They're on Facebook. I can't remember a specific name, but you can go look at some of the comments on the article that I wrote. I mean,
you're in Colorado politics. Which was great, by the way. It was exact to the point. It's what we've been saying and you've been saying, and Susan Beckman.
And you called it ahead of time and said, you know, when you read this, you'll have found out that she's won overwhelmingly.
Right.
Yeah. I wrote the article before the election results came in.
Right, right.
Well, and again, it's just you have a ground game, and I don't know why. I guess I do know why. And the sad thing is, I am afraid, and we're going to talk about the Tucker Carlson thing here in a second, but you've got Republicans, not just in Colorado, but in the country, who are part of the Uniparty for all practical purposes, who would rather hang on to their little bit of power, right, and their little bit of control and whatever little bit of money they're making, than go ahead and actually get Republicans elected. I mean, Ted Tripp has said, again, Republicans start winning in Colorado when they decide they want to win. He said, in the meantime, we're going to steal the state.
Here's the message for all your listeners. Ted Trimpa, probably the best Democrat strategist we have in the state of Colorado, has said on your show repeatedly that Colorado is a center-right state. The reason that it's blue is not because the majority of voters are Democrats. It's that we as Republicans do not run good races.
Right.
Has inferior mechanics to what the Democrats have in place. That's why they win. And what I love about Lauren, in terms of who she is and her platform, is that she's showing that conservatism and populism are not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
You can be both.
Right. Well, and maybe, can we switch?
Let's talk about some of the...
Wait, I want to have my good idea here and see what you think. I think that we should just... Here's what happens. Scott Tipton should resign really, really quickly, and Cory Gardner can take his place, and then Lauren can run against John Hickenlooper. Can we do that somehow? I mean, then we might actually have a chance.
Somehow, I don't think they'll go for that.
Thank you, Julie, for that.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just an idea.
Well, let's go to the not so good part of the election last night. So
all the rest of it.
Rest of it, but big parts about it. So basically, the Democrats decided to come in and contest strong conservative strongholds and put in moderate, weak candidates, not weak necessarily, but rhinos. Call them strong conservatives and claim they're great, pour in about $2 million, and almost all of them won. Tonya Van Berber, who is a public school teacher, belongs to CEA, Mike Lynch, Dan Wong, who's a really god-awful individual, and Lauren Taggart, they all won. And then you had three races in Adams County. Weld County, you're right. Weld County. And that wasn't quite so bad. Perry Buck won. Barbara Kirkmeyer beat a black guy, which was too bad. Lori Sane is ahead by, I think, 28 votes. And there's still a lot, some to come in for military votes and some others. So they did not put the money into the Weld County commissioner races. And so they were better. But they were undefeated, and today
Justin Everett lost
to Colin Larson, and we had our hadn't heard from Friends for the Future for a while, but Loris Leingraf sent me an email this morning, cheering, screaming, yelling, Friends for the Future have all our candidates win, it's an amazing process.
Well, what's your analysis of that, George?
So I was pretty much consumed with the third CD, but I want to go back to Chuck's Better Billionaires. So why do we have conservatives in this state who are, to paraphrase the Untouchables, they're going into a, a gunfight carrying a knife.
Right.
Why are we allowing this? We've got these liberal groups and these groups led by quote-unquote Republicans who are not worthy of the name, going up against good Republicans. Why do we allow that to happen? What good do we think that is going to come from that? Let's say these primary winners go and they support someone other than Patrick Neville,
right,
or House Minority Leader. Do you think that's any good is going to come from that?
No.
Do you think that capitulating more often to the Democrats is going to somehow yield a more conservative result? No. It's just...
Well, they don't care because they know our Our Democrat operative friends have explained to us that this is, I mean, you got to remember, folks, if you're listening, Colorado, there is, they call it the Colorado model. Colorado is kind of like a petri dish for the Democrats, right? They try stuff, and if it works here, they export it to other states. One of the things that they're experimenting with this year, and we saw yesterday it worked, okay, is our Democrat operative friend said, hey, look, we know the maps, the districts and stuff like that are pretty much set. We know there are certain very solid Republican areas. We know there are certain very solid Democrat areas, right? And there are a few in the middle that we can fight about. But they said what they're doing very specifically, and Catherine Murdoch threw $100 million at this.
$2 million.
No, I think nationally. Nationally.
No, she didn't put $100 million.
Across this country?
Okay. She only sorted 10 candidates.
Okay.
But she put millions
she
in.
She put millions
I
in.
I mean, okay. You don't have, I mean, $2 million in Colorado, okay, but not me, $100 million.
Okay. That's it. My point is, though, that the Democrats said, we are going to try to mess up the Colorado Republican primaries, and let's see if that has an effect. And what they wanted to do was get rhinos beating conservatives, and it worked. It worked almost across the board. But
well, not across the board. Well, it worked. It worked where they threw the millions in, because
right.
George Teal won in Douglas County District 2 for commissioner. He was supported by the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association.
So that was
Perry Buck was supported by the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association. She won the Weld County one. And Laura Sane has a small lead waiting for the last final votes to come in. So, but where they put lots of money in, which was in those...
Colin Larson, $395,000.
Oh, that's just the beginning of it.
Right. And so George, I think that's what we're seeing. This is their new strategy, right? And I mean, they've taken over, and we're going to talk in a little bit here more about what's at stake. But I mean, the Republicans have to wake up and realize this is how they're going to play, right? And we need to... Everybody just needs to do what Lauren did. They should all be, I'm sorry, you know, Ben is right. You should have been the party chairperson. Everyone should be listening to you and listening to Lauren. And otherwise, we're not even going to have any hope here in Colorado anymore.
No, listen, Lauren, she, you know, parts of the Colorado model, we just used it against the Democrats.
Exactly.
And, you know, or in this case, we used it against Scott, and she'll use it against the Democrats, and she's going to absolutely eat Diane Bush alive come November. But, you know, unless other Republicans in the state get the memo, you know, paging Cory Gardner,
yeah,
it's not going to work out well for you.
So, no, hey, this we got
I don't know
Barney.
What else. I mean, it's the three of us talking and the people who are listening, but until Cory's campaign and the other Republicans get the campaign, and then the Republicans who are considering statewide office in 2022, unless they start to get the memo, they're going to lose to Democrats.
Right.
I don't know how else to put it more plainly.
Right. And here's the thing. And if you're not from Colorado, this is coming to your state. This is, you know, this
they
is.
They already know it. They
yeah,
know
this,
it.
So this they, is they, coming. They,
nationally, you know, Trump is fighting and everything else.
Right.
Colorado Republicans never fought open primaries, never fought the fact that mail ballot and ballot harvesting.
Ballot.
Never,
right.
Never fought any of it. And don't fight it. You know, they'll go to the old age homes again, and the people will be on their deathbed, and they'll get them to sign their ballot, and off they'll go. It's disgraceful. Well, let's go to Barney. Hey, Barn.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie.
Hey there.
Hey, George. Can you guys all hear me?
We can hear you.
Can.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, George. I hope Lauren wins, but I might. I'll tell you what. If this Diana Bush beats Lauren, then it's pretty clear this is a blue state, and I don't think. I'm pretty sure Cory's not going to have the base. So I don't think the state's based on blue because of Cory Gardner losing. But I guess we'll see. We're really going to see this time around because I think it's gone. And you're right. I mean, you could take a Republican and beat the living crap out of him and drag him to the water, but they still love that liberal, and it ain't going to work. So did you happen to notice the Alexis King, Jake Lilly race?
No, what happened? No, who won that
77,000
one?
77,000 votes to 36. Jake Lilly lost. It was horrific.
What?
I think that's a slaughter. I'm not. What's that percentage? 77,000 votes to 36.99 or whatever.
Oh wow!
That's Alexis King won that much.
Jake Lilly.
That just tells me that. Well, sorry, go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say, well, no, you're right. I mean, you know, Jake Lilly, he ran once before, and he's a nice guy.
No, I really like Jake Lilly personally.
But yeah. He was George Soros money, right? Yeah, and so maybe that's good. So,
right.
You know, so the George Soros money didn't necessarily win. That's pretty interesting, Barney.
Well, that's George.
Well, one of his mailers, it was a victim holding a picture of her sister. And the only thing missing from the picture was a knife with dripping blood, because it looked like a picture right out of Dark Shadows. I don't know who did the campaign mailers for the guy, but yeah, it was bad. He should have just got a golden retriever, got rid of the kids, and taken the picture with that, because this other stuff didn't. But I just think it's a strange number. I don't know. I think there's a way that I just think our – I think we're gone. I guess we'll see. But
well, we can always hope. That, yeah,
I'm hopeful.
We're hopeful.
I'm maintaining hopeful.
We're going. We're going for Lauren Bobbitt the whole way, and if she wins, we'll have a new
state. Sure you are. I don't know, George. Have you seen a race like that? 77,000 votes to 37. That's. I don't know. That's a hell of a number.
That's lopsided.
Democrats got out of there, whatever, and voted.
So, all right. Hey, Barney.
Good
thank
luck,
you,
Lauren. But good luck, Lauren. But yeah, love you guys.
All right. Hey, and if people want to call in again, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Anybody on Zoom wants to go ahead and turn their mic on, you can comment on this too. You know, because I want to talk a little bit more, like Chuck was saying, and George, and get your thoughts on the races that we lost. Again, the races that the Democrats, the only word for it is meddled in. I don't know why they holler about Russia, right? Russia this, Russia that, when they're just, you know, deliberately pouring money into meddle in the Republican primaries, and it worked, right? And it's and so they're going to be like, oh, that was good. We're going to do that even more. And again, I think the only way Republicans can win is to go ahead and adopt what Lauren did, because we saw that it worked. And I'm just, you know, hopefully somebody out there is getting the message, because how many times do the Republicans have to beat their head against the wall doing the same old, same old, same old and lose?
A lot.
All right. I don't know.
Well, it's hard. Apparently, I mean,
apparently we haven't reached that point yet.
I guess you're right. Oh, now you're making me
cried uncle.
You're making me depressed again.
I don't quite know how, you know, you think how hard it is to run a grassroots campaign and ballot harvest and everything else. I mean, that takes an extraordinary amount of energy. And you know, most of your volunteers just want to, you know, they have to make
calls. Well, they want to get pizza at the headquarters and make phone calls, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and let's face it, you're right, Trek. It's not easy knocking on doors, right?
It's not, because people don't like you. They scream at you, and you almost have to get, you know, that kind of door-to-door salesman one where you all get together and you know, you laugh it off every time they stick the dog on you and stuff. But it's
well, George, let me, you know, because we were going to turn to Tucker Carlson, so we'll let you go if unless you want to stay on for that. But any final thoughts, or you know, you want to replay all the presentations that you made last time around telling everybody this is what was going to happen?
No, all I want to say in closing is, first of all, help Lauren out.
Yeah.
Go to her website. It's laurenforcolorado.com. Donate money in a race that will matter, that we can win.
Yes.
That will send a message. So go to laurenforcolorado.com and donate money. The second thing and the final thing that I'll say is, for the love of God, if you're a Republican, get the message. Send an email to Corey. Talk to, you know, send an email to Ken Buck. Talk to anybody you know. Tell them, hey, we can win. We have to stop beating ourselves, because that's what we're doing. And until they get the message, you know, I don't see good things happening in Colorado aside from Lauren and what she's doing out on the Western Slope.
No, we got a combination of the Democrats in the Republican Party. And then a lot of people, you know, they're all around them kind of, oh, yeah, these are conservative candidates. And I imagine that a great number of the people in Jefferson and Weld County had no idea they were voting for Hillary Clinton candidates. And you have lots of other people who are around those people, Friends for the Future.
We just want the power.
Yeah, Donna Winholtz. I mean, all the kind of, oh, no, these are, we're very conservative. Yeah, sure you are. Sure you are.
Hey, George, thank you for your time once again. Thank you for continuing. You know, let us know if you ever get tired of being right. But
I'll let you know. We'll see.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
take care.
It.
All right,
hey,
take
and,
care.
And I recommend
Bye.
George has a good column on this where he just kind of lays it all out very briefly, very succinctly on Colorado politics. You know, I wanted to talk briefly about Tucker Carlson. The other thing that gives me hope, one, Lauren won. The other thing, the fact that Tucker Carlson has like the highest ratings in the history of like Fox Universe or something right
cable
now.
Television.
Yeah.
For News Channel.
For News Channel. I mean, that's, ever, I read something into ever. That, right?
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, whatever message he's preaching, it's getting through. And his is a somewhat nuanced one. And what I love about Tucker, here's Tucker Carlson. He, at the end of the show, said, you know, I got too much into the panic porn at the beginning. Because he
right.
did. You know,
yeah.
you know
oh, no, COVID no, panic no, porn, yeah. right.
But he'll admit it, right? He's not like right. some who kind of like, oh, well, you know.
Double down.
Yeah, well, he just, you know, never mentioned it again. So it's, I mean, his is an intelligent program. It's insightful. And it tells it like it is, as he sees it. And if he's wrong, he's willing to go, well, you know, I was wrong.
But the thing is, the fact that more people are tuning into him is a sign that people are saying, hey, wait, I agree. Here's one of the things, and that's, and if, you know, weigh in on this if you want, 888-627-6008. Or go ahead, and if you're already on Zoom, go ahead and just jump on in. But tell me what you think about this, Chuck. Tucker Carlson, because I want to add to it, he outlined a few things that he said are really bad. You know, that the Democrats are going to do if they win, which they are doing pretty much here in Colorado. I mean, yes. establishing the control. One thing he said they're going to do, and it's all about votes, has really nothing to do with policy. If you listen to these, zero to do with policy. It all has to do with power, okay? The first thing they'll do is give amnesty to 20 million illegal aliens so they can get those people to vote for them.
Right.
The other thing they're going to do is get rid of the Senate filibuster so they yep. can win with 51 votes, right?
Yep. Yep.
Then what they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and make Washington, D.C., oh, guess what? That 51st state is going to vote for them, right?
Right?
And then what they're going to do is they're not going to do like silly Republicans. We just wait around for the Supreme Court justices to die, and then we nominate them. They're going to enlarge the court and then appoint their own people there, right? Once they do that, it's going to be very difficult to win. And I'm submitting on top of those, and that's what's going to be in the first 5 days, right? I mean, I'm joking there, but maybe not. The other thing they're going to do, what they've done here in Colorado, is they're going to ram through national popular vote. They're going to get rid of the Electoral College,
yes,
right? Because
yes.
we can't have that. And then the other thing they're going to do is ram through all-mail ballots. That's why they need the state legislatures, right? They
right.
need to have the state legislatures do the
all-mail
ballots.
Well, they couldn't get it nationally. Now they do it nationally, and they'll force it down. And the Supreme Court won't allow it, then they'll replace the Supreme Court. I mean, this election, you know,
this is
Armageddon. It's Armageddon, and right now the forces of evil are
well,
doing,
and they're and they're
too
they're,
much.
They're
doing
rigging
too
the
much.
System, and it's not so much, you know, fraud. It's not fraud. They're just rigging it. And I think that, you know, people got to wake up and realize that's what's going to happen. And by the time people, if they don't wake up now, if they wake up later, it's not going to matter how you vote, because unless you're a progressive Democrat, your vote's not going to matter. They're going to just overwhelm you. And I see our good friend Ben, and you've got Anil Mathai. Ben,
hey.
Go ahead and chime in.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out also that your list of what the things that they intend to do in order to maintain control is correct. But there's also one other thing that they've been actively doing, and that is getting all the district attorneys, you know,
yes.
elected from a very liberal point of view. In Adams County, when we had a Republican county clerk there, he submitted, oh, I forgot how many thousands of ballots that were questionable that
right?
he thought was a certainly that they could prosecute. The Democratic district attorney did not prosecute one of them.
Right.
So that's the other missing part
Good
of that.
Point.
They won't prosecute these people that are violating our election laws.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
It, I mean, is, you know, Phil Weiser, say we had the kind of fraud that we saw in New Jersey, right, where they had all the ballots bundled and things like that. Do we think that any of the Democrat clerk and recorders or that the attorney general who was a Democrat, you're absolutely right. They're going to be like, what election fraud? Not what you're crazy. You guys are just
right.
conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. And that's the problem. The other problem is that, you know, when George was running, like I typed in there, we would have been far better off with somebody with his intellect and knowledge on what how these things are operating. We would be far better off.
Right.
So,
right.
Well, we've had two chances. We had George, and then we had
Susan Beckman.
Susan Beckman.
Yes.
With the Reagan administration.
Right. Either one of those. You know, these
and they always, they both got defeated. We say, hey, I can raise all this money. And of course,
yeah.
they don't raise any money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's the same
yeah.
thing. Time
it's
time.
Tough out there. Who's going to dump? I mean, I'm the director of the IEC in Adams County, and I'm telling you, I'm just getting thumbs down whenever I ask for money.
Yeah.
And they're tough. Just, you know, I mean, why are they going to give us money when we constantly lose?
Right.
That's what I've got to battle out here.
You're so, like, oh, we're trying.
Yeah,
just
that's all we're
going to Adams County, too.
Yeah.
All right, then.
I'll let somebody else talk.
All right, okay. Thank you. So I see Anil was here. Anil Mathai, I saw you. Anil was posting, if he wants to join in on Facebook, talking about, you know, he was saying, you know, when are Republicans going to wake up? How is this happening? Neil, you want? I'm calling on you, so if you don't want to, just go. No.
There he is.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, appreciate the discussion. I'm so glad about George's article, and I think a deeper question is, what do Republican voters even know about our platform and our Constitution?
Right.
I think that's where the problem is. If they can be suckered by Democrats within the party, then we got deeper issues.
Well, they actually run on the same things. I mean, these liberal Republicans, you could go on the website of any of the three, or really four House candidates, and they're, you know, on each side, and they're identical. They glom on to exactly the same thing, but they don't mean any of it. Yeah. I mean, they're all friends of the future people. They're all left wing. They're all, and they deny it, of course. And you know, I've got friends who, oh, no, that, you know, so-and-so is not that liberal. She's a member of the CEA. She's a union teacher. But what do you mean? And somebody else said, well, what do you mean? She's a social worker from Philadelphia. But if you look at their platforms, they are, I'm strong on gun rights. Oh, you know, stop polis, no masks. They have all that stuff because they don't mean any of it. They don't mean any of it.
Well, Chuck, I mean, I've noticed it for so many years now. It's our electorate really gets suckered real quickly. They don't have a clue. They don't want to do research, and unless we civically can go that extra step and get involved and get educate ourselves on the issues and find out who the con artist is and who's telling the truth, we're in a bad predicament here in Colorado. And that's
it's not hard. All you have to do is check on who endorses who and who contributes who. So if Hillary Clinton supporters are endorsing the person, then maybe a small clue to you. But I don't think people even knew that, because really, other than the few pittance that Rocky Mountain gun owners gave out, there was no other money they had. So they had no way of getting their message out when you're fighting off people with literally millions being contributed to their campaigns.
I understand that. But Lauren is a good hope here. I mean, she took on a five-term congressman and defeated the establishment. But in general, I think what we need to do is figure out how to educate the Republican voters. I mean, that's what happens here. If we don't get them to understand exactly why they're Republican, we have no hope. I mean, this is very problematic for Democrats to come in. That's a smart move. I have to give them so much credit. They come in, and then what does our state Republican Party do? They're impotent. They can't do nothing.
Right.
And so what do you do at this point, you know?
That's what I want to say. I just want to raise this too, because I was saying this, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because I think it's, because I've seen you post on this on Facebook, and it's broader. But where was Colorado's Republican Party standing up for some of this stuff, right? Where was Colorado's Republican Party immediately, and Scott Tipton throwing their weight behind Lauren? And you've talked about, where were the churches when they're shutting down churches, right? And now we've got Black Lives Matter people saying, we're going to tear down statues of Jesus. And people think, oh, that would never happen. Well, I say to people, wake up. Look what's going on in this country. And if you don't stand up now, I believe you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, I think the problem here is we don't know who our enemies are anymore. We have an enemy within our own camp, within the Republican Party.
Yes.
Democrats have been very effective in California, in New Jersey, New York, the East and West Coast, and Colorado is repeating the exactly same model. We're dealing with communists. A lot of people are like very silent. Silence is a fuel for evil. Once communism gets a movement moving forward, they don't stop. And this is going to get worse into this month of July, into next month, until really bullets start flying in one sense. If law and order is not taking hold, we got major problems, and that's what's happening here. But I think what's happening here is the Republican Party is no different from the Democrats right now. It's either we stand for our Constitution and freedom, or we don't. We support communism, even by our silence. And
right.
That's what's happening here. Is we either are going to stand up and be courageous now, or basically we tell our kids to go to hell, because that's exactly what's happening across the board, especially even with 25 to 40 million trillion-dollar debt that's expected.
Yeah.
So people need to stand up. But until I think what's happening, people have no clue what they believe anymore. They don't believe that they're afraid. And until they stand up and understand what they're fighting for and do it now, we are in major trouble.
All right. And Neil, hey, thank you for that. I appreciate you chiming in. You're perfect. Thank you.
Thank you both. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, and I saw Mark. I don't know if you wanted to come on in. I saw you.
Yeah.
Okay, jump on
I
in.
I guess I'm a – I was a Republican. I quit being a Republican because I see zero leadership. Yeah. Every time I see something that starts to be good, it gets destroyed. I said before, I voted for Hickenlooper because I thought he was the worst candidate.
Yeah, right.
Because I felt that I've been around Romanoff personally, and that guy can be really charismatic. Yeah. Hickenlooper's got nothing. But when I look at Cory Gardner, I just want to throw up. I won't give him a damn dime until he starts doing something. The problem is, I sit here in Denver, and I'm not far from DU, and I can't motivate anybody to be or do anything. I live in a development where people are afraid to go outside. All my friends right now run bars, and I wanted to bring up what Polis just did to them.
Okay, what do you think about that? It's like
I'm so mad. It's time that people – I think there's a lot of true Republicans, conservatives out there that want to do something. And I think they're blocked at every opportunity. So it's time for them to stand up somehow. And this, they're just killing 40% of our population now. And they're doing it very successfully.
Right.
I mean –
You know, Polis, if you don't know what Mark is talking about. So yesterday, Polis says, coronavirus cases are increasing. Of course they're increasing. The testing is increasing, right? Hospitalizations are down. Deaths are down. All the bad things are down. All the bad things are down,
and he never talks about any of that. He just wants the power grab to stop all of us from being able to do anything.
Well, isn't that true, right. Mark? That's absolutely true.
I mean, so I'm spending
a lot of time with a lot of my friends on the phone trying to get them to get out of the house, to go do something, to take them on and go, you know, Polis, what's he going to do? Arrest me when I don't wear a mask or I go someplace or, you know, don't have a 4th of July. Don't have.
Yeah.
Where are the fireworks? And one way to start it is, why don't we all go to the fireworks wherever they are?
Wherever they are, yeah.
Well, you know, they don't want us celebrating America, right? No, I mean, they're the ones.
Yeah, hey, that's now a racist holiday.
1776 is racist, right? Yeah. That, I mean, so you're not, you know, and they'll use any excuse they can. Well, Mark, listen, thank you for chiming in, and thank you for all the work that you do, too, because I know you are out there every day just talking to people and doing the best you can.
I just hope people will listen to people like you and us and other people, and maybe we can.
I do, too. Yeah. I really.
All right, Mark. Take care.
Thanks, Mark. Hey, you want to tell folks about Sendagenics.
Absolutely. Talk about this is the time to try to get your health.
You need your energy.
You need your energy. You need the control your age as best you can. Keep as young and as vibrant as you possibly can. And Sendagenics and Julie McCallum does that. She'll put you on. She'll give you a free consultation. Not a penny. No obligation. Just go see her and what they can do. What Sendagenics can do for you. Which they do, and there's so many people. It's a time in which it could mean your life, and it really does. Sendagenics number, and just call Julie. Talk to Julie personally.
Julie McCallum, not Julie.
Talk to her, too.
I'll send you over there.
720-387-3681. That's Sendagenics, C-E-N-E-G-E-N-I-C-S, or 720-387-3681, and you'll be glad you did. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent
you. That's right. We've only got a few minutes left. So, you know, the bad news is, the Democrats, every time, they're kind of like drug dealers, right? Every time the police and law enforcement come up with one tactic, the drug dealers come around and they get another tactic. Yeah, I'll probably get slammed for saying that. Right. But they do, right? So they're playing in Colorado Republican primaries and across the country. So that's a tactic. But we can beat them if we take on the things that they do that work. Lauren Boebert proved that. Great candidate, great ground game, ballot harvesting, and she won. And she won easily, right? So that, to me, is the big takeaway. And as Anil said, you know, remember what the Republican Party stands for. You've got to get back to that kind of thing. Because I think people will respond to that. I think there is a silent majority out there.
Well, it doesn't really matter unless you ballot harvest. Because ballot harvesting, it's not, Stalin said, it's not who votes, but who counts the votes. Yeah. In Colorado, it's not who votes, but who collects the votes. And maybe maybe someday before their total death, the Republican Party of Colorado will get it, just like Lauren.
You know, in the meantime, you know, truth straight up. That's what we keep trying
That's
to do.
That's what we here. Keep on doing here.
That's what we keep on doing here. Thank
Thanks so much.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Want to remind folks, you can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. Also, check out our YouTube channel. We'd love to have you subscribe. Hey, and anybody who called in today, too, you can listen to yourself on the podcast. If you go to iTunes, too, rate and review us. You can rate and review yourself too. That'd be kind of
that's the best kind. You get to grade yourself.
And thank you to the great guys at BBS Radio. We'll see you all on Party Friday.